Greetings, dear listeners, and a festive Yabba Dabba Doo from It's a 90s Christmas podcast, where we keep all of your warm and cuddly holiday memories alive. I am your host, Lasse Vogt.
And I'm your other host, Lyle Perez.
And together we welcome you on our wonderful show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mr. Lasse?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah, can't really complain. But I actually thought I was going to complain because of a topic we have today, but I guess we were going to get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into it. I think it was, when was it? Maybe one episode ago, we made a reference to the Flintstones, and then we said, yeah, we'll do it sometime. Well, here we are.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't really looking forward to this, to be honest, because I don't have a background with the Flintstones. I think I actually watched like one episode when I was a kid.
One episode and that's it, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I know about the show, but I think our parents just didn't let us watch it. Just out of like, I don't know, because it wasn't their taste, I guess. And we watched just other stuff. Sometimes we caught it on TV, but I can only remember actually sitting down watching one episode when I was awake.
Yeah, well, the Flintstones weren't really in our time. They originally aired on 1960 and ended in 1966. So many, many, many years before I was even born.
So why exactly are we doing this special then?
Well, because this special that we're about to do of Flintstones Family Christmas, it originally aired in 1993, on December 18th, 1993, to be exact.
This is really weird. Are these the same voice actors?
It looks like, yeah, there are some of the same voice actors, which, unfortunately, a lot of them have passed since, I mean, you gotta remember, this was 1960 when when the Flintstones were coming out, and the voice actors were pretty much in their 70s, 80s when this special aired. So, yeah, some of them have passed, but I believe it is a lot of the same people.
Yeah, I mean, and if they are not, if some of them are not, I mean, they're doing good impressions because the voices are very iconic. And I mean, we had, I think we had one of the commercials during one of our shows. So it's totally understandable that it's a big landmark for a lot of people, and I know what it did for television. You know, it was one of the first primetime animated shows, when I remember correctly, and what it did for television. I mean, without that, who knows what TV would look like nowadays.
Oh yeah, well, looking a little bit into it, I noticed that the original voice for Fred Flintstone was Alan Reed. And he passed away in 1977, so after then, it was Henry Corden who took over for Fred Flintstone voice. That's probably why I associated this voice, because this is the voice that I remember from like from the series, the Fred Flintstone and Friends, which is that one I remember more than the actual Flintstones. And it was the same actor for those.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I mean, the voice totally fits. So I didn't notice anything, but like I said, didn't really watch the show. And I'm sorry, I know there are a lot of fans, but it's just something I didn't grow up with it. And when I had the chance to watch it, I didn't want to. Like, this was just past my time.
Yeah, it seems like a show that you'd have to have watched it when you were a kid to kind of get into it. I don't really see much Flintstones action going on nowadays.
I'm sure there is some weird deviant art stuff going on with these characters, you know, given the time period they're in, given the clothes they were. I'm sure there are some sick adult drawings of these characters out there.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. I'm sure there are still fans. I'm actually more familiar with the two movies they did. Like, of course, the first one with John Goodman, and then was the one with who was it? Mark Eddy. Yes, exactly. Where Mark Eddy played Fred Flintstone.
Gotcha.
And actually, for the best casting ever, Stephen Baldwin as
Barney.
as Barney. That's actually the role he was born to play.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie, was it Viva Rock Vegas?
Yeah, exactly. It's actually a prequel, but it came later, like the original movie. Most people are familiar with the first movie with John Goodman, but this is actually supposed to be a prequel. And also, Kristen Johnson is in the prequel as Vilma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, she is. Yeah, I'm looking right at her now.
Yeah, then, yeah. So, we already covered her in one episode, in another episode, of course, of another show. But it's a weird coincidence.
Yeah, well, I mean, 90s, we're doing a show about the 90s, so the actors are probably going to be a lot of the same ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but I don't, you know, I remember more about the movies and how they weren't really funny. But I remember one thing of the show, which I kind of watched in some in some stuff about the show, which is actually one of the funnier and sicker bits on it. And this is something I totally forgot before I watched this Christmas special. The animal cruelty.
the with all the dinosaurs?
Yeah, not just the dinosaurs, like all the different birds too. Just like, I think they do a bit on The Simpsons where Homer says like, "Marge, if there's anything that the Flintstones taught us is that animals can be used in hilarious ways to do redeemial tasks." And then he uses like a pelican as a cement mixer and it dies.
Oh man.
You know, and if you think about this rationally, this is one of the darkest, most horrifying things ever put on television.
Yeah, all the cruelty, especially in this Christmas episode. I was like, every present, every decoration thing, anything that needed electricity or needed a some form of technology, it was done by a dinosaur, a bird, something.
Yeah, the very first scene where they use like an electric eel as a conductor or something to light up the letters.
Yeah,
like that's it's great. And there's actually one thing. I think there's one bit in the Flintstones movie, in the first Flintstones movie, which is pretty funny because there's like a bird clomping on the little stone tickets when people are going into some place. And he turns to the camera, and of course we all expect him saying like, "It's a living," but instead he says, "This job sucks." That was actually pretty funny. Yeah, but the animal cruelty, the weird inventions, that's the one strong point of the show, in my opinion. This is actually something that totally holds up in a very dark way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very clever that the different ways that they used it. I think at one point he brought out a remote control and I was like, oh, how is he going to change the channel on the TV with the remote? And then he pushes the button, out pops out a little bird, flies to the TV and uses his beak to push a button. And that was it. And I was like, oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah, and actually, me watching this episode, this was just me constantly nitpicking all the anachronisms in the way that, because this is also some one point why I didn't get behind the Flintstones, and it's so stupid because it's meant to be a stupid cartoon, but there, I mean, of course it's the Stone Age, just humans mixed with dinosaurs, which didn't exist, but I'm pretty sure the Flintstones are actually the fault that a lot of kids believed that back then. But actually, like, hey, of course, like, a caveman hang out with dinosaurs, it was perfectly normal. Like, no, it wasn't. But, you know, how do they have something like electricity? How do they have TV? Because it would be, they don't have celluloid, in my opinion. It would have been actually much more funny. Like, at one point he watches a movie, and it's like, how are there movies in this? Wouldn't it be funnier if there was like a little puppet show inside the TV?
Yeah, there was a lot of moments like that when I was watching it going, how are they doing this? How are they doing that? How do they know about this? It's supposed to be the Stone Age. And it just, I'm assuming it... Let's get deep into it. They're in like a parallel universe, and in that universe, they have some technology during the Stone Age. That's why the dinosaurs and humans live together. So it could be something like that.
That is totally plausible. I actually buy that theory. With that theory in mind, I can actually enjoy this a little better.
Yeah, they're in some alternate universe that combines all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's totally cool. Yeah, because, I mean, the very title, A Flintstone Family Christmas, it's just, you know, like I said in an earlier episode, Jesus wasn't born yet. Like, I mean, this is not... and of course, I mean, this has nothing... This is like the modern consumer mix, yes. Mix Christmas, uh-huh. we already talked about. So, of course, it's not meant to be taken that seriously, but still, it's kind of contradictory in some places.
Right. Yeah, I know. But let's give the audience a little bit of information on the actual special itself. So it was produced by Hanna-Barbera. We all know we did Hanna-Barbera in the last Christmas special one, which was the Town Santa Forgot. Hanna-Barbera did that one. They did this one as well. And it aired on ABC on December 18th, 1993. And the special was actually nominated for Primetime Emmy Award in 1994. And it was for Outstanding Animated Program.
Wait a minute. Wasn't the Town Center Forgot also 1993?
I believe it might have been. Let me take a quick look.
Yeah, because I think it was. That's so weird. Like, because that one was also nominated for an Emmy. So, yeah, there was like some
both of them were done in 1993. This one was December 3rd in 1993, and Flintstones Christmas was on December 18th, so about 2 weeks later.
That's amazing. We brought it back, people. It has come full circle.
It is, and this happened. It happened completely by accident because I was trying to do the scheduling for all the Christmas specials that we're going to do this next year, and for some reason, the Flintstones fell in this spot. So here it is, and it's the same year, the same month. It's the 90s, it's Christmas, it's wonderful.
Oh my god, that totally fits also, because our first movie, the second movie we did was Home Alone. And there's one episode coming up, dear people, for October, which also has Catherine O'Hara in it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when we decided to do the 90s, I had a feeling that a lot of this stuff was going to intertwine with itself, because we're only talking about 10 years. And in those 10 years, we had a lot of big names in acting, big names in cartoons, voice actors. So they're all going to mix around with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can you imagine when we would do like a podcast about the 2010s? And every movie we would talk about would star The Rock.
Yeah, the Rock would be in there. Let's see, some other wrestlers. Stone Cold would probably make a cameo every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, Jesus.
But that's for probably 10 years from now.
Yeah, every decade has its thing.
it sure does.
Yeah, but I have to say this about the special. I didn't expect this kind of plot line. I was actually very surprised by the direction they took. And because of that, even though I knew like how the outcome kind of would be, it was much better than I expected it to be. I have to say I laughed in a few parts. I found some of the parts actually very heartfelt, and I enjoyed the antics. And if that's more than I really ever expected out of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, just to give people a quick synopsis of the special, Fred and Wilma try to teach a wayward boy about values.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's
it.
Pretty much it. that's the entire the entire special summed up in one sentence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a pretty classic story. Like, I think Fred and Barney, they get kind of robbed by this kid, and then it gets brought to the police station, and then I think one the kind of like the woman who is responsible for him, whose name is Stella Stalactite. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the social worker.
the social worker, exactly, thank you. And she says, oh, now because he doesn't have any place, and so he doesn't have anyone to care for him. And then Fred is actually by his wife, Wilma says, we should give this kid a chance. And then they bring him into the family, and of course at first it doesn't work out, but through different circumstances they get along eventually.
It's the magic of Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually, I really didn't expect this kind of storyline, so much so that at some point it actually goes into some very sincere places. And it has some pretty good jokes. And I also really enjoyed the voice actor of a kid who sounded so familiar. It was kind of like a Disney voice. Like, he sounded like someone who could, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie from Donald Duck. Like, he sounded like somebody. Which I found interesting.
Yeah, and like many of the voices from the 90s, it was actually voiced by a female.
Yeah, of course. I totally expected that.
I believe it was Christine Cavanaugh.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She is the one who voiced the little boy, Stoney. And she also worked in shows like Dexter's Laboratory, Sonic the Hedgehog, what else? Darkwing Duck. She did that voice too.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, I probably know her from some Sonic show. That might be right. But yeah, totally typical 90s animated kid voice.
Yeah. Oh, and she also did voices on the Rugrats.
Ah. Okay. Yeah. Totally reasonable. But I had quite a lot of fun with certain things, and also I had fun with nitpicking stuff, because there's one point where the mailman just throws the presents at them, and I noticed that some of the wrapping was kind of like torn up, and I was like, what is this thing where presents are wrapped in? Some kind of paper? Why don't they just write on that instead of freaking stone?
Yeah, because at one point Fred is, in the very beginning, Fred is extremely happy with Christmas. He's putting up the decorations, putting up the lights, and at the top of his house, he has like letters spelt out. It says, what does it say? It says, Merry Christmas from the Flintstones house to yours. And then he plugs it into the electric eel that's inside this fish tank. The electric eel sneezes, and the words, everything explodes. And then Fred tells Barney, hey, what does it say? And Barney says, Fatso's house. And that's what it's spelled out.
No, it says Fatso's house. But that was my first laugh moment. It was actually really funny.
So Fred, you can tell immediately, he's really into the Christmas spirit. And at one point, Barney picks up like the newspaper, and it's made out of stone. And he's saying about like all these bad things happening. At one point, he says there was a drive-by stoning the other day.
Yeah, I was like,
there was a drive-by stoning, and then later on in the episode, the kid holds him up with a fake gun. How could there be a stoning if you guys already have guns? They knew what a gun was, so why wouldn't it be a drive-by shoot?
Didn't pick up on the gun. No. I totally didn't pick up on the gun. Yeah. That's amazing, yeah.
He has a toy gun, and it's made out of wood, obviously, but they knew what a gun was, so why would it be a drive-by stoning? Who knows? But Fred eventually just says, he doesn't want this bad news to ruin his Christmas, so he starts pounding on the newspaper, and it crumbles.
Yeah.
Crumbled newspaper. And so obviously it's made out of stone.
Yeah. And then Barney's like, hey, now before I have to read the news, the news, I first have to play Scrabble or something.
It's like, yeah, Scrabble with a bunch of pieces. It's more like a puzzle, not really Scrabble.
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, it's snowing, which of course, I mean, they don't live like, I think they live in some kind of, sometimes it looks like a tropical environment with all of rock and sand, but whatever, it snows because it's Christmas. But it's like, they don't have glass windows. Aren't they cold?
They are cavemen. They're supposed to be, be able to withstand the outdoors.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, they go outside and they have like, I think they have like something like coats on and scarves and something, and then they are walking barefoot in the snow. I mean, you obviously need scarves. Wouldn't you like make a pair of boots?
Yeah, I don't know. There's so much that, so many inconsistencies that happen in this universe, so I'm not gonna even bother with it.
Yeah, because also boots in general would help with driving the cars, because doing that barefoot, that sounds very, that seems very painful.
Yeah, they would have calluses all over the bottoms of their feet. They would be constantly stepping on stuff. Die Hard comes to mind. They'd have bloody feet, and there we go.
Yeah, exactly. But and also at one point, don't they like, they mentioned like Charlie Manson stone.
they make a lot of references of now time. So that's what makes my theory work so well. They're in a universe where it's the 90s, but it's the Stone Age 90s.
Yeah, but I was really surprised because that's incredibly dark.
It is, but it's Hanna-Barbera. They're probably wanting to throw in a couple of references for the parents, so the parents could watch it with their kids.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. There's another edgy joke with with a kid. As soon as he's in the house, he's like, "Hey, let me just like fix your TV." And then he gets like some kind of like
Prime adult stuff.
Yeah, it's some program he doesn't have access to usually, and then there's like this all cave girl network. I didn't expect this many kind of naughty jokes in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were in there. You probably didn't catch them as kids, but now we catch them all the time.
Yeah, but it's actually great. Like, I love it when stuff like that happens. As long as it's not too raunchy, but I don't think a kid would pick up on that.
All right, well, we keep mentioning the kid. So the kid that we're talking about is his name's Stony. He's just like some troublemaker kid that is hanging around in front of, I guess, a store. And he's supposed to be like one of those Santas that stands out in front of stores and gets donations. But Fred and Barney, they get sent to the store to get a Turkeysaurus. for the dinner, a Turkeysaurus. So Wilma, who when I first saw, I haven't seen the Phone Stones in a long time. So when I saw, hold on one second.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome back. Sorry about that. We kind of had some difficulties going on, but I think we figured them out. So we're back, and I forgot where we were, but I'm pretty sure we were talking about Stony. So Fred and Barney, they go to pick up that Turkeysaurus, which I thought was hilarious, and the there's a little boy outside. He's like collecting money in a Santa suit, and they get mugged. That Santa mugs them, and we later figure out that it's a boy named Stony.
Which sounds like this. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say this, but this name just constantly kicked me out of the experience of watching the Flintstones. It sounds like the nickname for a drug abuser.
It does kind of, but I mean, Stony, they're in the Stone Age, there's stones everywhere. So, I mean, I know a kid, his nickname is Stony.
Couldn't they just like named him Rocky?
Yeah, Rocky could have worked too, but I mean, Hanna-Barbera, 90s for adults. You know, we've been there.
Okay.
So they go to the police station for the lineup.
Yeah, and they recognize him, but he's missing his bottom half, I think. Or was it? Yeah. No. I think who are standing there? Was it the bottom half or was it the upper half?
It was the upper half.
It was actually him.
Yeah,
because like everybody's he's missing the pants or something like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think I mentioned it, but the it was two boys. Stony was the one on the top, and there was another accomplice, another little kid. So at one point when they're getting mugged, Barney has like the Turkeysaurus in his hand, and Fred says, "Oh, just give it to him." So he throws it at him and cuts the Santa in half, and the boy goes flying. But I didn't understand how the police picked him up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they didn't pick the bottom half up. So where's this other boy? I'm sure he would be glad to have a family for Christmas as well.
He would love it, I'm sure. It just seemed like the boy was like, I don't know, they called it, they said it, he was a caveless boy and his name was Stony. And the social worker said that nobody wants him. And then they said the line, not even America's Most Wanted him. Such a cheesy line.
Oh, that's so cringe-worthy, but it's funny again.
So after they hear this line, Wilma decides to take him in. And then that's when Stony gets him the free cable, and then the inappropriate TV show happens. And then Fred changes it to something called a Stone Age. What is it? A Wonderful Stone Age Life was the movie he was watching.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course it was a movie like that. So, again, full circle, because there's also a It's a Wonderful Life reference in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Tons of references to all this stuff. Yeah, and then from here, everything just seems to go really fast, because Stony starts... He's a troublemaker, so that's what he knows. He's a caveless boy. So when they go out, they need to go out, get their Christmas tree. Oh, because Pebbles and Bam Bam, apparently they're adults now, which I never remember seeing that. But they're adults and they have children. Fred has grandchildren. They're supposed to be coming over for Christmas, but they're snowed in. Like whatever this airport, I don't know how they're flying over here, but it's closed due to a blizzard.
I can buy cars in this, but how do they fly? Like fly away like on a pterodactyl, because I doubt that they can like trample fast enough to keep like an airplane like thing in the air.
Yeah, I don't think it was that. I think it had to have been like a pterodactyl, but we never see that. We don't get any payoff when it comes to that. But no. Stony, they start taking Stony everywhere. Like they're supposed to go tree shopping. They go to a tree shop and apparently they can't afford a decent sized tree. They could only afford a little one. So Stony says he's going to take it into his own hands and starts to do like a three card Monty in a way, but with turtle shells to kind of raise a couple of extra bucks to get them the good Christmas tree. And he ends up, he doesn't cheat the guy, but the game isn't meant to be favorable for the person playing it. So the guy thought he was cheating them. And then he calls out to Fred. Fred starts figuring out what's going on. And he says, yeah, this boy cheated me out of money. And Fred's all like, did you cheat him? And he said, oh, I didn't, Mr. Flintstone, I swear. And he totally suckers him in. And then Fred's all like, if Stony says that he didn't cheat you, then I believe Stony. And so the guy grabs a Christmas tree and whacks Fred over the head with it.
Yeah. I mean, they show a montage before this where they kind of start to bond, you know, some nice moments. I mean, before he just steals Barney's tree for the Flintstones.
Yeah.
That's my neighbor's tree. But then they actually show how he starts to fit in, which is actually very sweet. But then he screws up again. But then I was wondering, why is Fred getting arrested? What did he do?
No, it's because at this point, when they're in the hospital, Mr.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Oh, I missed that plot. Yes, yes, of course. Of course, because when they're in the hospital, actually Fred has the job of being like the Santa in the parade.
Right.
And because of his injury, he can't. Like the mayor comes to him and says he can't. And the mayor wants to pick up the Santa costume in at the Flintstones cave. And then Stony steals a car. Oh, no. Actually, he doesn't. He steals the car with the mayor in it?
He steals the... He's playing the guy's driver, because Mr. Slate, he's the company owner, so he's really wealthy. And he steals... He doesn't steal the car, but he pretends to be the driver. So
yeah, exactly.
He takes him to the Flintstones' house, and then somehow, I don't know how, but he locks him in the Flintstones' bathroom. So he goes back to the hospital, and... He starts talking to Fred, saying, yeah, you can be the Santa now in the parade. And then he's like, what happened to Mr. Slate? And he's like, oh, yeah, I took care of him. So eventually he finds out that he's trapped inside the Flintstones bathroom. So Fred jumps out of the hospital bed, starts running to his house. He's being followed by the cops. How the cops figured all of this out was beyond me. And he gets there, lets Mr. Slade out, and then that's when he gets arrested and Stoney gets arrested and they get thrown into the slammer.
Yeah, exactly. But why is Fred getting arrested? He didn't do anything bad.
Because he's an accomplice, apparently.
But I mean, he was trying to free him. It's so weird. And when children in this universe can just get arrested and get thrown into prison, why didn't they do that with a boy in the first place?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's up with this universe, but it seems to be a really weird one.
Yeah, but there's one part where they take a family photo, and on the bottom half, the date of the photo just says Christmas BC. And first I was like, screw you, Special. And then I was like, the makers know this is just total BS.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, we're almost close to the very end of the special, because after that, they bond inside of their jail cell. They start bonding. First they're mad. Like, Fred's mad at him that he's even in there because of the dumb things that Stoney was doing. And then they start to bond. And then the social worker gets involved. She's like, the social worker has to take him away because there's no way that he's not going to get punished for this. He's in jail now. And Mr. Slate comes and tells Fred, hey, yeah, you can be Santa since you're out of jail. Here's the suit. Go be Santa. So he goes off to be Santa. But then at the same time, Stoney's being taken away. And Fred is like, he's torn between being Santa in the parade that he really wants to be in or go and save Stoney. And he gets to the parade. He starts flying around in the reindeer. He sees Stoney like in a car. He swoops down. It's a big old thing. It kind of reminds me of that movie with Turbo Man and Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever that movie's called. Oh, Jingle All the Way. Kind of reminds me of that in a way.
Jingle All the Way, yeah. Yes.
Reminds me of that.
That movie sucks.
But we're going to have to get to it eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like that. And he swoops down, he grabs him, he saves the kid. And as he's flying away, he's yelling at the social worker, yeah, well, I'm going to take him. I'll see ya. And then he takes off. They get to the house and Bam Bam and Bam Bam and Pebbles, they are at the house and they're having a nice Christmas moment. And then the tree is up and Fred says that something about that they save the star for, you know, the newcomers of the family, of the Flintstone family. And obviously, which Stoney assumed that it was supposed to be the grandchildren. Why wouldn't it be? Like, hey, Fred, those are your grandchildren. This is their first Christmas. Why ain't they putting the star up on the tree? But he lets Stoney do it, and it's like a big ol', oh, it's a nice family moment. I'm like, really? I would have not let Stoney do it. I definitely would have let my grandchildren do it.
Yeah, but that's the message. Like, I found that actually very, very sweet. Like, overall, like I said, I mean, it's a short special, and it didn't take us long to get through this. But it was much funnier and sweeter than I thought it would be. I still have huge problems with the show and that concept, but it was enjoyable enough. Like, I didn't leave it like with regret. Like, it's so typical, because the same thing happened with the Town Center for God. I mustn't take anything by face value now, because I always get burned by this. Like, who knows? Like, even like the stuff we will do in the future, I'm not looking forward to. I just should stop complaining about that, because maybe it will be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, I do have a lot of mixed feelings about this special. I honestly feel it wasn't as good as the Town Center Forgot. The message wasn't as good as that one. It had the nice wholesome moments, like at the very end with the Stoney thing. But I was like, if the grandchildren weren't there, yeah, obviously you would want to have Stoney do it. Let him be like he's part of the family. But the grandchildren will probably show resentment to Stoney, like, hey, I'm like your actual grandchild. I've never had a Christmas here before. I want to put the star up. But then, I don't know, it was just like a whole ordeal trying to make Stony feel welcomed. And I don't know. I couldn't really buy it. If the grandchildren weren't there, it would have been fine. But
aren't they just like babies or something? Like, I'm sure they're not even fully aware of what's going on.
Oh, they were probably like toddlers, like 3. Yes, they would definitely know.
But that's really weird. Why is that when they're only their first Christmas there if they're already 3 years old? Well, Didn't they come for Christmas during the last few years?
Well, they don't live in the area. They gotta fly in.
Wouldn't it be like a family tradition? Like to fly to the family to spend Christmas there? I mean, we do that constantly. we don't like stay in our like I don't know, like a student apartment or something like that. We fly home to our parents.
Yeah, but I've seen that a lot in a lot of Christmas specials where the family doesn't always get together during Christmas. They try to, but either they don't have enough money to travel, they're too far away, they got other plans. A lot of reasons could happen. But I always assumed that this was their first Christmas there, because I think Fred says something like that in the beginning. Like, this is the first time. Oh, this is the first time that he said something about the first time that they're going to see him as Santa in Christmas or something like that.
Oh, yeah, right. So, that's a plot point. Yeah.
So that's why I assumed this was their first Christmas. But I don't know. That's overall, it was an okay thing. If you just really have to know that you're going into a whole different universe, nothing to do with the Stone Age, nothing to do with the 90s, nothing to do with, I guess it has a lot to do with dinosaurs and humans living together and us pretty much enslaving birds. But it was, I don't know, I guess this is probably, out of all of the Christmas stuff we've done so far, this has to be the worst one.
I mean, but to be fair, it's a Flintstones, you know, it doesn't have any depth to it, so you don't really need to expect much, and I didn't expect anything, and I came away from it positively surprised. So, you know, for what it is, it's just a Flintstone cash grab Christmas special way late in the game. So, you know, why not have some fun with this? And they tried the best they could, you know, it still has the spirit, the humor of a show. That's the style of a show. We don't change anything. I mean, Barney doesn't get anything to do. That was kind of weird. He's kind of like sidelined for a lot of it.
But he just throws the turkey, and that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's fine. But you know, for what it is, which is just a Flintstones Christmas special, it's fine. It's totally fine. Like I actually think it's not something you would ever watch again for like nostalgic reasons, except when you really were a fan of a show, of course, and that there are people out there who love this show. So for Emmett, they certainly got more out of it than we did, but I still, for what it was, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. So that's all it has to, and that's all it has to do.
I guess. But one thing that I just noticed about this whole special thing with the Flintstones, in 1993, they had a lot of them. In their first one of the year happened in February 7th of 1993. It was called I Yabba Dabba Do, which I'm assuming is like a Valentine's special, because February is Valentine's. They had another one in December 5th of 1993, which was Holly Rockabye Baby. I don't know what that one was all about, but it was in 1993. Then they had, then I believe they had this one, A Flintstones Family Christmas, which was also in 93. And then the one after that, they did another Christmas one in 94. It's A Flintstones Christmas Carol. So I'm assuming we'll do that one too eventually at one point, because it's the 90s. And it's so weird, because in this special, they are kids. Bam Bam and Pebbles, they are children again. And according to the Wikipedia, it says that this is the only appearance of Stony and the final appearance of Pebbles and Bam Bam as adults. And also their grandchildren never make an appearance again.
So I guess they just jump all over the place in the timeline.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a whole different universe. They apparently can do time travel.
But no, it's not really time travel. It's just like, hey, and now the makers of a show just chose to now they are adults and now they're kids, you know, kind of like a flashback episode. I mean, this is the same show that has like the great kazoo in it, you know, the alien who visits them and tries to study them and stuff like that. I remember the great kazoo.
Yeah, but there's also a couple of other things about this special. A Flintstones Family Christmas, it was originally featured as a VHS as The Flintstones Christmas in Bedrock. That's what it was originally called. It was released in 1996. So that's kind of, the first VHS adaptation was 1996. They also it was released on DVD in 2011. So I don't know why it took them that long to release it on DVD.
Nah, just nobody was really crying for it, you know. But yeah. Whatever. There's one more thing I want to say about this show, and it just came to me. I find it very weird that in a show where one of the characters is named Pebbles, it has a spin-off food that's called Fruity Pebbles. That's kind of, you know, that sounds both cannibalistic and dirty.
Yeah, in a way, I guess it can. But, I mean, Pebbles are little tiny rocks, and those... That cereal looks like little tiny rocks.
Yeah, but then, I don't know, it's kind of creepy.
It is in a way. I mean, maybe the baby was named after little tiny rocks. I don't know. I haven't watched the show in forever, and I was never really a big fan of the Flintstones. The big thing that I remember about the Flintstones in my childhood was the time that they met the Jetsons in that movie. That's about the only time I remember it, really.
Yeah, we did something like that. Yeah, like you heard, dear listeners, we are the perfect people to talk about this.
We definitely are. But hey, like I've been saying from the beginning with this podcast, we are going to watch every single 90s Christmas-themed sitcom, movie, special that we can get our hands on. Even stuff we have no idea what it is. I'm looking at the list that we're going to do for the year, and there's stuff on here that I've never seen before. There's sitcoms that I've never seen before, but they're in the list waiting to be done, and we're going to get to them. And then you're going to get our actual genuine reaction to a lot of these shows, because it's the first time we've ever seen these things, like this one.
Yeah, maybe we can even do some like kind of like a live thing where we react to it and record our reactions and send it out to you. That would be actually pretty funny. Like maybe something totally, totally horrendous, and then you catch up our first reactions to it.
Well, Go ahead.
I'm trying to look up something, some kind of like German special that has subtitles. Like I would love to find something like that and send it to you, or maybe watch it with you, and then maybe it can also be a part of a show. It would be actually pretty funny.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't think we've talked about it on the show yet, but Lasse is actually going to come to visit over here in America for, I don't know, how many weeks? However long. And he's going to... Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a few weeks. Yeah, from the midst of September, kind of. And then we see how long I stay the first time. I'm going to do a car trip through the US. And then I will eventually come back for Thanksgiving again, because you invited me. And let's see where it takes us. Yeah, but we will watch a lot of this together then, and then record it. So yeah, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. He's going to stay at my house for a little bit until my wife gets mad at him or sick of him and tells him to leave. One of the two.
After 2 days, man. Yeah. Okay.
We're going to watch a lot of Christmas content. We're going to do a lot of shows. We even have ideas to do... what was it that I wanted to do? Watch movies and do commentary on them. So we could do those.
And we also wanted to do some for some stuff for your Halloween podcast. I will bring movies for that.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming. Unfortunately, because of the way that the schedule's made and how these things are released with the time frame of when we were recording, it seems a little weird. Like this one isn't going to come out until late September.
At that point, I'm already there.
Yeah, he's already here. No, this, I believe, is going to come out in late September. So when you're hearing this, Lasse is probably already here, and we're going to be recording new shows, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned for all of those, because I don't know which shows we're doing when he's here. I don't know what it is, because we're recording as much as we can to get these shows out there, because they're, you know, I love doing these shows, but we only release once a week, so we record a couple of them in advance just to make sure we don't skip on any weeks for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Looking forward to all of it, and let's see what we can manage to accomplish there.
Awesome, sounds good. So I guess that's going to do it for this episode. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. Was fun, you know. What we got is some good jokes out of this, and I was actually surprised that you also don't have that big of a connection with the Flintstones. I just assumed that, you know, hey, you're American, you probably are a fan, I don't know. Sometimes I think in these broad terms when it comes to American entertainment, I guess.
Right. Well, you can't assume when it comes to this, because like I keep saying, we're going to watch everything. A lot of stuff I've never seen, like a lot of the movies that we're going to do, I've never seen them before. So that's going to be an experience.
Yeah, I mean, just because I'm a German, you probably thought I was a big fan of soccer.
I didn't know about that.
Okay, but because I am not.
Yeah, I kind of thought that.
Okay. But, you know, what can you do? Every nation kind of has its, I don't know, assumed stereotypes, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I thought you would be, like, wearing, what are those things called? That German getup, and they're like polka. I don't know what that dress is called, but... I'm like, yeah, this is totally going to be Lasse. And you're going to come down probably in your LARP uniforms.
It's LARP uniforms, that's great. Or like Lederhosen.
Yeah, Lederhosen, that's what I was thinking of. You're going to bring me some like sausage or something, some bratwurst.
Yeah. If that's how I travel around, yeah. I actually have Lederhosen, but just for costume purposes. I just have those because we did a play in school and we had to wear those, so that was the only reason, because it's only in a certain part of Germany where they actually wear that on special occasions. It's not like something certain people wear in their free time, at least not very commonly.
Yeah, well, we all have our different cultures, we all have our own different things, so I mean, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I still think all Americans wear like cowboy boots and
John McClane style.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, cowboy hats, big mustaches. Like, no, of course not.
No, but I mean, when you come to my area, you'll probably see that quite often.
Oh, it would be great, because that's actually something totally new to me. I haven't been to those kind of places yet. At least not in recent memory, and that will be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see all of this, meet all of you, hang around, help with everything. I mean, why am I saying this? Because at the point the listeners are hearing this, I'm already there, but what can you do? This is just for the two of us. At this point, I probably already did a lot of things wrong.
Probably. He fed the goats wrong. The pig tried to eat him already.
No.
The chickens are looking at him confused. My garden is dead because he didn't water them.
Who's this? we are just BSing right now. We should probably end this episode.
I know, because we didn't have much in this episode.
For our listeners' sake. And I mean, it's going on much longer than it actually is because of the technical difficulties. We had to pause this. So we recorded just a bunch of nothing in between. Just a bunch of thin air, which you will have to cut out, of course. Or just leave it in to troll the audience. No, we won't ever do that.
No, we'll never do that. Well, okay, yeah, let's end this show. So if you'd like to send us... Oh, go ahead.
Play intermission music during the pause.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it for, I don't know, probably 2 minutes, and then I'll go into the episode.
Oh, that would be so mean. No. Say where people can find the show.
They can find us on, well, if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, you want to send us an email, tell us how good we're doing, how bad we're doing, you can send those to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. That is the number 90 and then S for 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. And we're on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and Podomatic has us. We're starting to pop up in a lot of different spots because now we're in like week 8 of the episodes of the podcast. So we're going to be popping up in a lot of different formats as time progresses. So by now we should be everywhere. So just look us up, subscribe, rate us, and comment on all of the cool stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, please do. And also, when you like my stuff, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Lasse Vogt. And I have a separate podcast called Fans About Films, but you already know that, where I talk with fans about films and also with film composers about their work. And it's available on SoundCloud and Twitter.
Sounds perfect. So until next time, we will see you guys then, and have a good night.
90s Christmas podcast, we have a gay old time.
Right when you said that, I was like, 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. Have a good
night. Bye-bye, folks, and have a good night.